Kevin. Well, after a three-year legal fight by Newsroom to overturn a High Court injunction on coverage of the reverse uplift case, Calvin Davis requested an urgent briefing from Wairanga Tamariki on a heartbreaking and disturbing Newsroom investigation showing the agency uplifting four Māori Tamariki from their permanent foster home. Joining us is Jean Te Huia, who has been a long-time health advocate, Māori, and also is the head of Ngā Maia, our Māori Midwives Association. I thank you for joining us on the program. Tuhine, kia ora anō, Jean.
Morena. Morena. Morena, everyone.
Thank you very much for joining us on the program. Well, firstly, what are reverse uplift cases? What's the purpose and who instigates them?
Kia ora, thank you for this opportunity to talk about this thing. Reverse uplift is where the social worker working with a whānau have identified that a child who has been permanently placed a home for life policy introduced by Paula Bennett in August 2010, where a child has been identified who has been permanently placed with a Pākehā foster parent, is then reassessed, and in the background the social workers look for Māori foster parents to then take the place of those previous foster parents, and the children are then taken from their permanent home where they have been placed, presumably permanently, and taken off them and given to a Māori family or to a so-called more culturally appropriate family. The process what I would describe as another stuff-up by Oranga Tamariki. And again, the victims of this are mostly Māori children. And there is an underlying deceitful way in which the government has continued to impact and play around with the lives of Māori children in social welfare care or in under government care. And it highlights the inability for government and any government to respond to the needs of Māori. If we are to look at the policies that affect mostly Māori children in care, we can see that the $8 billion budget that is spent annually on child welfare in this country would be, in taking children off whānau, would be better spent if that money was actually given to whānau, and particularly mothers who are struggling to care for their children. And most of that is as a result of policy. We look at the housing shortages, food shortages. Māori are living in poverty, lack of education, the ability to be able to provide the basics of life. And I'm talking about a secure and safe home and a secure and safe environment, not only for themselves, but for their children. And that then begins the process of being identified as being unable to provide those needs for your child. And instead of the government being able to then respond to the needs of that whānau, they go into overdrive and preparing ways and means of taking those children from that mother. If we look at the Home for Life policy, we can see that on the 11th of August 2010, Paula Bennett introduced the policy. And it was reviewed on October the 20th in 2010 for those seeking to adopt children. So the Home for Life policy became an opportunity when they instituted a way to care policy through SIFs to enable caregivers who were wishing to adopt children an opportunity to be able to respond to the Home for Life policy and to get children who were they wanted to adopt. Along with that, if you look, we've got a 1955 Adoption Act that urgently needs to be reviewed. Because under the 1955 Act, with a letter or a support from a social worker, the foster parents after successfully obtaining a child through the Home for Life policy, they are then able to proceed to adopt that child without the parents' knowledge or consent, the birth parents' knowledge or consent. So while we are outraged by the reverse policy, we should be equally outraged at the other policies that go sit side by side with it, which includes the 1955 Adoption Act, the Home for Life policy, and many other policies. If we look at social workers who work for Oranga Tamariki, in the Hastings case, the social worker was not even registered with the professional body of social workers. And so under the Act, social workers who work for Oranga Tamariki are those that are legally able to prepare the documents for family court that sit before the judge. But if you look at the underlying philosophy around that, they do not have to be registered with the practitioners at Social Welfare Board. So there are lots of problems around government oversight and Māori children who are supposedly at risk with their living with their whānau. I mean, I'm getting off the subject of the reversals, but it is only the tip of the iceberg when we think about child welfare in this country and you take a broader view of what actually is happening to our mostly Māori children within that domain.
I'm wondering how the media, or should the media be involved here? I know it must be tough for families who are or whānau that are going through this, but where does the media sit in reporting these circumstances to wider New Zealand, so we know of the way that the situation is unfolding for whānau Māori? What role the media here?
I think the media has a very important role. I believe that with the ability to write the truth and to provide opportunities for the public to be able to see what that looks like in truth, it provides our whole society with a safety net. We cannot be in a country or live in a country where we are unable to be to express ourselves. And I think the media has to have that ability to be able to provide us, the public, with the truth of what happens in this country and to be able to put that out there in whatever way they want, whether that be written, social media, television, radio, or the whole lot. We can't, you know, right now most of the world, 90% of the world functions on social media. And of course, we've now got false media being put out there. And so I think in reality, we are now shifting our gaze into a whole new area of information. And we need reliable sources to be able to say, this is the truth. And I believe that our New Zealand media, particularly Melanie Reid and her staff, and Bonnie, I mean, they were the women that came to my aid in Hastings in 2019 with our case. And without that support, no one would have known what was actually going on behind the hospital walls. And so it is hugely important that we have freedom of speech.